I'll come to the room and go ahead. I'll be here and listening.
Salam, everyone. Welcome to the mom meeting for this month. Hope everyone's doing good. How's everyone doing? Good?
Salam, everyone in Madreya.
Salam, Mom. Salam,
Salam, Ma. Salam, Maitreya.
Salam, Tahira.
Salam. Doing good here also.
Good.
Good, Eunice.
Yama is here too, but I'm trying to help her set up her sound. I think this is her first time with microphone, so without the English, she's struggling.
Of course, Niyama is Nahin, Nian.
Yes.
Yeah, Vibrizo is here too. How are you, Vibrizo?
Salam, Maitreya. Thank you for remembering me.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, I'm doing well.
That's good. Are you still in California?
No, I left California last year. I'm in Virginia now.
Oh, wow. That's a big, big leap.
You're right near me, right near where I live. North Carolina.
Well, that's where I started out when I first started listening to the mission's messages, and then I moved to California, and my wife passed away, and I've been on a bit of a journey since then, but I'm back to where I started almost.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're glad to have you, definitely. And if you have anything to say at any time, just go ahead. This is for all of us.
How is it going for you?
Are you still talking to me?
Yeah, I was wondering, how's it going? Everything is okay?
Well, I'm about to make a big transition, perhaps head back out to the West again. Actually, I was hoping to speak to somebody at the mission about some of the things that I would like to do, and maybe become more involved in the work of your mission.
Great.
Here's a good place. Go ahead.
Yeah.
A lot of people here to help. If you want to, you don't have to.
Well, as you know, I've been studying your message and visiting the Pal Talk room for a few years now, and then I went off on a little solo journey searching for my own path and gained some more insights, more information. But I still feel that what you have to offer is really the right place for me to be.
Great.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, no matter what your path is, it's inside this one. You just have to find your place in it.
Yes, I realize that. And
sure.
I feel like I'm visiting my old friends at home again.
That's good. So what, have you reached any conclusion or are you still working on it?
The biggest conclusion I've come to is that I have an awful lot to learn.
That's a good conclusion.
And you can only go so far by yourself. You know, I've been studying with the Rosicrucian Order, and I've been studying Wicca, looking for some insight on spiritual connections. But I realize, of course, that the progress that we make is internal, and anything that promotes the expansion of consciousness is the right way to go. But there are many, many devious detours on that path, especially when you're traveling alone, and there's almost more information out there than a person can absorb in a lifetime.
Sure is. That's what God sent His revelations. Because there is a lot of detours that doesn't get you where you're supposed to go.
And they also waste an awful lot of time and energy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Great. Very good. Good lessons. You can teach a lot of people from your experience, you know, that the straight arrow is through the revelations from God. And any other path, they might sound good, they might feel good, they might make you, you know, feel good for a while, but eventually, as you say, some of them can actually be very devious, very not nice at all.
Yeah, one of the things that I've discovered is that not all people who are professing to be looking for a spiritual path in life are actually looking to help others. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in it for what they get out of it for themselves.
Interesting.
Have you, go ahead, sorry. No, please, go ahead.
No,
I'll wait. I was going to ask, you were saying that you were interested in getting more involved in the mission. I was wondering if, what exactly you thought that might be like. Were you planning on something specific or just sort of in general?
Well, right now I'm just reconnecting and hoping that there's a place for me here. One of the things that I've discovered after being a sort of a hermit, I lived out in the desert for 3 years and came back here to Virginia on a solitary path, and I discovered that you really have to be involved with people who share the same instincts, the same feelings, because you only grow so far by yourself. And so my search has sort of come back full circle to where I was maybe 3 years ago. And, as far as specifically what would I like to do in the mission, I have a feeling that I really would do much better if I was in a community that was dedicated to a specific spiritual path, spiritual growth, and almost like a monastic life where I could devote most of my time to study and development. Because I'm ready to drop out of the mainstream. When I leave here, I'm not going looking for another job. I would like to really get involved almost full time in my spiritual path. I don't know if that makes much sense to you now. It probably sounds like I'm still going through a certain amount of confusion, but in my mind, I'm very certain that my next phase of development will be working with a group of people that are dedicated and not just looking for a social outlet.
Well, the second seal is create community, so if that's what you're interested in, then welcome. You know, that's what we're interested in, too. So I guess we'll see how it evolves.
Yeah, actually, the mission tent is so huge that there is place for everyone. We have another brother coming, actually. He says he is coming here to start a business here in Albuquerque area. He's from Pennsylvania. And that's another thing. You can come here, and if you want, you can settle down here, be close to the community, but be as hermit as you want to be or as by yourself as you want to be. It is individual decides what their calling is in this mission, and if you want to start some study groups or places to people come and read and educate themselves about the mission and the teaching and help them, you are welcome to do that. So if you want some guidelines or guidance or anything I can help you with, I will. But it depends on what is your calling. If you want to create an environment that people study and meditate and become detached from this world more, fine. If your calling is here to help with the mission work, that also can be done. Do you want to create communities? That's another one. Do you want to start businesses? And mission covers almost every aspect of human life, and each individual have to know what they are good at, what they can manifest. So what is your calling, do you know?
Well, yes. My career path has been in the accounting, administrative areas, in the hospitality industry, but I don't think that's my calling. I think that's just the profession that I got drawn into. Mm-hmm. I sometimes feel that, you know, I'm meant to help other people. I have a lot of compassion for people's suffering. But I also have a low tolerance for people who suffer but do nothing to get themselves out of it. So it's sort of like, I don't know how to describe it, but for people who need help and are willing to carry some of their own load themselves, you know, I'll do anything I can to help them. But people who are just looking for somebody else to take care of their problems for them while they continue with their lifestyle as it is, I'm not willing to help people who aren't willing to help themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with you on that. Some people, I said when I started the mission, I said people should share, and some people came here and said, well, we don't have anything, so you share with us. I said, no, it means you become responsible and become self-sufficient as much as you can. Then you share with each other to be able to help the rest of humanity. So it's the question is, you know, that what do you have in your plan? Or, you know, in for example, one of the projects right now we are doing is, besides getting the mission done and spread it and reach out, we are working toward creation of a farm that eventually will support the community, and anybody who come here, they can join the farm and somehow help it to grow. And the food that we create can be shared with the people. They need food or shelter and things like that. And so one way to help the people, we say you want to help the people, is to be able to, for example, join a project like that if you want. Of course, you don't have to. As I said, one of this brother coming from Pennsylvania, and if we can create a group of people that they are interested to help the needy and at the same time have a good local organic food, that is one way to think about helping yourself and others. That's one project. Another is, as I said, it's up to you. Are you planning to come this way?
yes, I actually have been planning on going all the way back to California.
Mm-hmm, okay.
But then the problem is, once I get there, there's really, you know, nothing for me to do except go back and live out in the desert some more. no, I would rather be involved in something. My primary objective is, as I said earlier, to live in sort of a monastic lifestyle where personal development and expansion of consciousness is a primary goal. but also being part of a community where whatever skills and talents I have could be put to some use. So I feel like my life still has some meaning to other people besides myself. Mm-hmm. Would be a secondary goal. So yes, being part of a community and whatever talents and knowledge and skills I have that can be of use, I would certainly humbly accept the assignment.
Sure. So you want to be a part of a community in long distance in California?
No. Actually, I'd rather come to New Mexico.
Oh, you want to come to Mexico. Okay. If you're coming to New Mexico, okay. Is that the final decision or you're not sure yet?
That's, I've learned quite a while ago, don't make plans and don't make decisions. Let things come to me in a natural way and not to force myself into a situation where I'm uncomfortable.
Sure.
The other night I was just doing meditation and letting things come to me, and all of a sudden your mission came into my head, and I checked out your site and listened to the meetings of the last 2 weeks or so. By the way, I really appreciate you having this forum. When I used to come into the Pal Talk rooms, I enjoyed doing the readings, but we didn't have enough exchange of our personal thoughts and of who we really are to really get to know people. I got to know Sharon a little bit through emails. By the way, she's still around, Sharon Coda?
Yeah, she is. Actually, she just made a very nice video for the mission in our author page in Amazon.com. She's just still around.
Oh, good. Okay. Anyhow, it just came to me that I should renew my connection with you and see if there's a place for me. And this is not a plan. It's not something that I've worked out all the details. It's just this feeling I have. It's a feeling more than a plan.
Why don't we do this? Let you finalize your plan and make your final decisions. And when we end up here, we talk about it.
Okay.
Sounds good?
It sounds good. I mean, I'm willing. I'm ready. I've been saving a little bit of money, not a lot of money, but I've got enough to live on without working for a number of months, maybe even a year or more. I'm ready.
Yeah, if you decided to come, of course, Hosanna also came from Kansas, and so he has some experience about where to live, how to find places to rent. Or do you have a trailer?
No, I had to let go of the trailer, but okay. I've been living. I have a pretty decent tent, and once the, I would say around March or April, I should be able to be very comfortable in my tent.
So we can get you in touch with him, and he can probably help you a little bit about those things about how to establish yourself here, because he has done it already. And if you want to, when you decided and you came over, then we talk about what you can do and what you want and what all that. And if you want to talk before, that's fine. Just send me an email. Maitreya@maitreya.org.
All right.
I'll type it in text.
All right. Okay.
So I'm sorry to dominate your meeting so much with my situation. It's just I do appreciate you taking this much time with me. I thank you for that.
Sure. I hope. I'm sure nobody minds. Does anybody mind?
No. That's the purpose of this meeting.
I just wanted to make a comment that it's Tahara Abrizo. When I came into the room, I was pleasantly surprised to see your name because you're like an old familiar face in the mission Pal Talk room. So wanted to welcome you for that. And also just make one suggestion to you that you continue to study and read and participate in the mission activities. I think at some point you'll probably, if you keep that up, you'll probably know your direction and know your place, what you're going to be doing or what you want to do, probably even stronger if you just keep, coming to these activities and reading Maitreya satsangs. I'm sure you're probably already doing that, but I think that's one of the first and greatest things is if you love the teaching. If you love the teaching, then everything, I think, will probably fall into place for you quicker. So, salam.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, Vibrizo, do you receive our monthly news brief?
No, I've sort of gotten into the shadows about, let's see, well, my wife died in 2007, and since then I've pretty much broke off contact. I stopped going into Pal Talk, went without a computer for quite a while, and try to hide away. So, no, I haven't been receiving anything.
Okay.
So I'm just renewing my my connection now. But I will get into more readings. And like I said, I've been taking a course from the Rosicrucians and a course from the Wiccan people, but they don't seem to satisfy me as much as the readings that I find in this site.
Well, great. Sounds good. And we'll hope to see you at future meetings and things.
Thank you.
Yeah, sounds good.
One thing for sure, anybody who comes to the mission here, anywhere, especially here, they leave and help the mission as much as they want and they can. They, of course, the more they help, the better, but here is for them to want, and it come from their heart. If it's not come from heart, usually mission says, you know, I don't have to do it at all. So it's not a cult that is going to create an environment that, you know, you will feel you're under pressure or something. But it has to come between you and God, and doing for Him. Okay, let's say how is everybody else doing then? Go ahead, Ice.
Hi. So that's a good question. And so how's everyone doing? And also, does anyone have anything to talk about? Two stock questions. Anything happened over the past month that you found interesting? Wanted to share anything with the mission. How's the social networking going with everybody?
Good.
Going good.
Good.
Enjoying it?
Tahara and I, Tahara helped just tutor me a little bit. We worked just on using that share button on the side, and it made things so much easier. And so I've been able to post a lot of Maitreya's essays and some of the conversations in here too. I've gotten some really good feedback from some people, so that's been really neat.
Great.
I love that article in the Natural Awakenings magazine, Tahara, that you put in. That was
absolutely
beautiful. That was just a great.
Well, that's what God did. also, Ma had sent, I think she made connections with the Natural Awakening there in Albuquerque also, and she spoke to them and sent a letter, and then I followed up with a letter yesterday too. So, who knows, maybe there'll be more Natural Awakenings in that area and all different areas, because there are many, many readers of that magazine. So mm-hmm. that was a blessing. And, mm-hmm. And God works good.
And it's great to get the greatest sign to 30,000 people. It's great.
And two pages good. In that magazine. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't just a little article. It was two whole pages. That was something. That was a good one. The greatest sign stood out very nice, and the blue was good. It was visual, and I think the questions were just, like I said, they were so timely. Anytime, any of the mm-hmm. teachings and this mission are, they're always timeless.
And I thought it was neat they put the greatest sign right by just in the table of contents by the article, by Maitreya's right. name.
Oh, and also there's one thing I was going to mention. You could probably check with your local, that local magazine, Nirma, that they list like weekly meetings and things like that. So he might be willing to put in like the service that we do online on Thursdays or the readings. So that's another possibility. I thought of that after I'd sent the letter last night, but it's just a thought. Get more advertising in that without having to pay anything because it's on an ongoing basis.
Yes, and I was thinking also about the Feast of Tabernacles. And when we have our doings at the Feast of Tabernacles, I think that's going to be a place where we can advertise. That'll be good.
That will be good. Anything else?
The newsletter. Wonderful.
Thank you, Tahira. somebody else said it instead of me and Eunice. How about the news brief, guys?
It was wonderful.
We understand having it every 2 months instead of 1 month because it rolls around very quickly, doesn't it?
Yes. Actually, we would already start thinking about it, and it's only been a week. So it gets, yeah, with the amount of staff we have, like, it's not really logical to spend 50% of your time describing what you're doing the other 50% of your time, if that makes any sense. So, yeah.
So whatever do you think about the 12th planet?
Had other people heard about this theory beforehand, and what do they think about it?
Are you talking about Nibiru?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's been around quite a while. I first heard about that in 1983.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the writer, the author of the book, just passed away recently.
Sitchin.
Yes, Sitchin. Mm-hmm. He wrote, I think, 14 books on the topic altogether. And I've read about six of them. They get a little bit redundant.
Are they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could actually, if you took out all the repeats in the 14 books and boil it down to one book, it might make one good hefty volume. But it's an interesting theory, but nobody, in the scientific community accepts it, but it is an interesting theory.
Where these theories put God?
What are his theories?
Sitchin's theories about the 12 planets. He believes that we are created by the aliens from other stars, right?
Well, the Anunnaki, according to him, came here to mine gold because gold has some properties that they needed on their planet. Mm-hmm. Which comes through our solar system every 3,600 years, according to his theory. It orbits between our sun and another star.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it's a 3,600-year orbit. And it's not just one planet. It's an entourage of bodies.
Moons and all that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And when the Anunnaki came here, they decided that the digging in a mine wasn't for them. They were much too arrogant and elegant for that. So they experimented.
They were elitist.
Yes, very much so. Just like the, we can compare that to how the United States was actually colonized by elitists. Anyhow, back to the Anunnakis. They experimented with the various species that are already on the planet until they found one that they could genetically modify and trained to do some of the heavy lifting below the ground, and modified them to the point where they are able to start thinking and making their own decisions. So it's kind of like it bridges a gap between what we consider to be the Neanderthals and the Cro-Magnons. So the anthropologists say existed at the same time, and somehow the Neanderthals just faded away and the Cro-Magnons became dominant.
Homo sapien, yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah, Homo sapien became dominant, yeah.
Right. And so anyhow, the species that evolved into the humans, when the Anunnaki realized that they were multiplying very quickly and developing a mind of their own, they weren't the complacent slaves that they thought they were creating. They decided to wipe them out.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this struggle between Enki and Enli, two names that pop up in mythology in other forms. I guess I'm telling you something you already all know, right? So
yeah. My question was, his theories put God. He never talks about God, does he?
No, he doesn't. He actually is more involved in how the mythologies of the various ancient civilizations, how their God theories developed from the Anunnaki stories. But he never talks about the God of creation, the universal God that every teaching attempts to explain. He never touches that. He never touches the religious part of it, just the
psychological
part of it. Yeah. Mm.
So him and also Raoul, the Raelian. They believe they are created by the aliens. Does that mean there is no God?
Somebody got to create the aliens.
Yeah, exactly. Good job.
Why is it so hard for people to say God? You know, you'll turn on TV and you'll hear people talking about the love that's between all of us and the wonderful spirit and that it's not this manifest world, but they just can't get to the word God. I don't know why.
If they say there is God, then they cannot say they are God anymore.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be God.
Mm-hmm.
But here's where I draw the line. I don't believe that the God that we're speaking of, or the universal God, is a God that has a human-type existence, that somehow has emotions and wants and desires. I do believe that there's a creative force that runs through all living things, that, you know, the world is made up of duality and everything is in balance. And there's some sort of force that is constantly working to keep all things in balance. But to try to define the nature of it and bring it down to human terms so we can understand it, I almost think that's a not really a waste of time, but it's beyond us to understand the true nature of God, other than the fact that we're here and there's something about life that is beyond what science can explain. There's still that mystery that science cannot absolutely say this is what life is.
Well, that's what the seventh angel was prophesied to do, was reveal the mystery of God as much as possible, at least. And even Maitreya says that God in the highest state is unexplainable and can only be experienced, but through Maitreya's teachings, we understand him more fully than has ever been understood before.
And I think our task is to understand what's expected of us to maintain the balance of life instead of going against the laws of nature and the harmony that God has created, that we should learn what we're supposed to do to keep the ball rolling instead of constantly creating discord in the universe.
What the mission teach on this?
On what exactly, Maitreya? The nature of God?
Yeah.
you know, Vibhisha was talking about God is not emotional and all that, and I was wondering if he knows what the mission teaches about God.
Well, I think I picked up some of my concepts and impressions from the
mission. From the mission.
I'm probably saying something that's in the center somewhere because
it sounds like you're talking about
truth.
I'm sure that some of that information has seeped into my cellular structure and things I know without even thinking about it because I learned it from you. So
it sounds like you're talking about the formless, nameless, invisible God.
There we go.
we call him fine, formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. So you are not far away. You're saying the same thing, you know, and we agree with you. Absolutely. God is the ultimate. And that is what this article was about, the 12th planet and I'll call him Raul or Rael.
I always thought it was rail, just like rail, but rail. I could be wrong.
Railroad, like the railroad?
I thought so, yeah.
Okay. What they're saying, so they're saying, well, these aliens made us, so there is no God. And my question exactly was, who created the aliens? And that's exactly what you said. That's great, yeah.
Well, since all life and all everything we know about the universe, and especially, you know, of course, about this planet, that all life has something in common, whether it be we're talking about plants or insects or creatures in the ocean or humans, mammals, whatever, they all have some life force working within them. And that life force cannot be created by man. That life force comes from some other place. So regardless of what theory of creation a person adheres to, they still have to accept the basic assumption that the source of life comes from some place beyond our knowledge. We can't explain it.
Yep, that's true.
DNA is so amazing. Like, do you guys ever just stop and think about how amazing just like this tiny little it's out of this world. It's way more complex than any of the supercomputers. Like, it's amazing.
And we only understand a very small portion of the function of DNA.
Exactly.
I don't have the exact number in my head now, but it's a very small number of the actual strands that we have identified that have a function. Most of it is still unidentified as what its function is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. And they call them garbage sequences, as if, you know, well, we don't know what it does, so obviously it doesn't do anything.
So it's no good. Yeah, throw it out. We don't know what it is. Get rid of it.
It also makes you think of the brain, too, because there is so much of the brain that's not used that there is that potential there, too.
I'm kind of partial to mitochondria. Mitochondria create the energies in your cell, create the energy. In, how did that, how? It's amazing.
Yeah, the theory is, the scientific theory is that the mitochondria was originally a separate organism, a symbiotic relationship, because it has its own DNA and everything. It's like a self-sufficient organism in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually they just merged.
And it just popped up from nowhere.
Yeah. And isn't all living things by chance.
I think, you know, though, one of the really neat parts to read is the creation and history. Do you have the book, though, the Brizo?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'm sure you probably read that creation and history section. It's so awesome, you know, with all the information and how it's presented. Every time we read something, and of course we read it every day online, but every time we read, there's always something more and more. Even though I've read it for so many years, over 25 years, there's always something more and new each time. So it's a beautiful process. I just thank God for it.
I think I...
The beauty of it...
Go ahead. No, please go ahead.
The beauty of an inspired work like that is that the many levels of meaning that only become clear to you as your level of understanding increases.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say I've learned that I have an awful lot to learn. and I've been very humbled by my experiences over the last couple of years. I still, hold on to things that I know and the things that I feel, but I'm finding that sometimes the things that I know get in the way of the things that I feel. And I don't believe that spiritual awareness comes from books. It comes from experience. I enjoy the readings because they help organize thoughts that I have, and it puts them into words that work better than the words that I have sometimes. So I, use your words instead of my words because yours make more sense than mine. But we still have to have the feeling of what the words mean, because the words alone are just a symbol.
That is so true, that experience is much more than intellect. And I personally, after I started receiving the revelation, I haven't finished really a book completely yet. After I started receiving revelation. Sounds like you don't need books anymore.
But you finished this book, Sealed with the Seven Seals.
I think God wrote it through me.
Do you think you'd ever reach a point where you don't need Google anymore? I can't even imagine.
Well, those got information. You always need information.
Yeah, the communication capabilities of computers now have given us, opportunities. It's given opportunities for people like us to share what we think and what we feel. It's also given the other side an opportunity to cheat and steal. So I'm, even though I spend my entire working day staring at a computer, I probably spend 8 to 10 hours a day on a computer. I haven't fallen in love with them yet. I realize that the computer can be a tool to enhance our lives. It can also be a weapon to destroy us.
It's kind of true for everything.
Yeah, but even more so for computers, because people have accepted them as part of their lives. And I heard you say last week, and I'm sorry, I have to open this up so I can get your name again, because... are you Noor Ula? Is that who I'm speaking for?
I think so, if you're speaking to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
You were talking last week about some topic having to do with the computer, how the computers are used in our lives. You said something about in the future you're going to tell your kids that, there was a time I had to click on Google twice to get information, because now they just blink an eye and they got it. I thought that was pretty good, because, I look at my grandkids and how they use computers. My little 5-year-old granddaughter is playing, computer games, and that's her favorite toy is a computer. And I think of where I was when I was 5 years old. The word wasn't even coined yet. Yeah, it's been an awful lot of progress, and we, as a society, we have become so dependent on computers that I'm wondering what happens when that's no longer available to us. And I don't know how everybody else feels like this, but I have sort of a sense of urgency that we're running out of time with this technological development of the world that we live in, that if we don't do things like form communities and learn subsistence or sustainable farming, and how to take care of ourselves without the infrastructure, there won't be a lot of survivors left when the next event comes down. I don't know if you want to talk about doomsday stuff, but it's we're at a time in our development as a civilization, that we've reached that point, that turning point, where things are never going to go back to be the way they were.
I think you'll find in our teachings that we very strongly believe that this is the end of an age and the beginning of another. Actually, everything we've been talking about, if you know the prophecy in the Bible, the knowledge shall increase at the end times, it's a twofold fulfillment, because not only has the amount of technology skyrocketed in the last 100 years, but also the amount of information that's available to anyone to access has increased enormously. And it's sort of a double fulfillment of the same prophecy. So yeah, that's one of the reasons we're so interested in the sustainable farming idea. Is in many ways we agree.
And you know, and reaching out and trying to save everybody, I don't think it's possible. I mean, if that was the case, the symbolic story of Noah in the Bible, he wouldn't have said, you know, make a big boat and save two of every species. He would have said, make a boat even bigger and save everybody. But he wasn't told to save everybody. You know, that's a teaching story, I believe. And at the end, everybody will not be saved. I think we've already exceeded the capacity of this planet to support the number of people we have here now.
It's, Christ says, separate the wheat from the chaff. But also, everyone is, you know, pure consciousness is promised to every man, or to every unit consciousness in the universe, if they turn around and follow God. It's their choice. So,
but not this time, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think at least one third of the humanity is going to be destroyed. I think that's prophesied, right?
Mm-hmm. It's in Revelation, yes.
In some places it says one third, in some places it says two thirds, and in other prophecies, in other cultures, it's similar.
Hasn't it already started?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Sure looks like it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this project that we have started, the farming, the whole idea is to implement the latest technology into farming and use the sustainable and renewable energy to make farming self-sufficient, as each community becomes self-sufficient, so it's not based on the distribution of the resources. Right now, if the distribution of the food stops in the United States, the people who are dependent on those distribution routes, they're going to starve, and they're going to be chaos. And therefore, self-sufficiency is very important at this point to create farming that uses the technology, but at the same time, each community can grow their own food. So we are with you. We are working on it. But also we need people to come and join us. And they are.
Yes.
Is there anything else? Any other comments?
I have a technical question here.
Sure.
My little panel on the right side that shows me who's in the room, who's talking, keeps shutting down.
Oh, yeah.
Minimize.
Okay, I can help you with that. So if you want to open it up, and you see on the top you have the four drop-down menus, file options, view, help.
Right, yeah.
If you go to view, you should see an option called auto hide the control panel, and there should be a check next to it. If you just click that, it'll stop doing that.
Oh, of course. I would have figured that out eventually.
Eventually, sure, no problem.
Thanks for the shortcut.
No problem. That's what I'm here for.
Okay.
That's what was the word? That's my calling. I can help with the electronics. So.
Yeah, usually the answers are much simpler than we think they're going to be, even in computers.
Definitely in How to Live.
Well, you know, expanding on that comment that Matthias said about you know, the intellect and spiritual development being not being dependent on books. When you think about the ancient cultures that we believed that were at a higher level of spiritual development than our current culture, and the people there did not read or write. They had no books, but yet they seemed to be in much closer touch with whatever unseen forces direct our lives. So, yeah, again, it reinforces my belief that my spiritual growth isn't going to come out of a book. It may be guided. Like I may learn some of the concepts out of a book, but whether or not I develop spiritually is going to be dependent upon what I do, not by what I know.
And also what I love so much about being in community is because the things that you need to learn are so much more magnified. So it really gives you a chance to progress in a greater degree than you have when you're off on your own as well. Go ahead.
Is this farm a functioning entity now, or is it still a dream?
It's, I don't know, I don't know if it's a dream, it's more like a vision. We're sort of seeing how it evolves.
Do you have land?
You know, kind of.
That is a primary ingredient of having a farm, is having some land.
No.
Well, this changes everything. I think we better start over.
Oh, no.
And I figured that out all by myself.
But actually, I have seen farms that have been on barges on the river, so.
Well, that's possible. There's not that many rivers in New Mexico, though.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it's, again, our vision is not small. We aren't trying to make, like, you know, a small farm that can just feed our family or something like that. We're looking to try to combine, like, the large-scale farms like Monsanto and stuff, they're amazingly efficient. The amount of food that they farm or the amount of land that they farm with the amount of people is amazing. It's an amazing ratio, and it's because of all the technology they use. And granted, it's also because of the pesticides. We don't want to do that, you know. We want to return it back to the natural and sustainable methods, but we also believe that there is probably a way to farm naturally, sustainably, in harmony with nature on a larger scale and combine the best of both worlds. We're all about combining the best of all the worlds, you know, taking the best parts, the good parts of each. So that's eventually our vision, is to try to figure out the correct way to do both, you know, perfectly organic, but also, like, efficient, technologically stable, and, you know, what makes the most sense.
Well, I thought you said last month that you were working on a farm.
I am. I mean, that's part of it. I'm interning, and, you know, it's again, we're waiting to see how it evolves. It might start small, but it's not really the eventual vision is bigger than that. But, you know, who knows how long it'll take. The eventual mission of the mission is a little bigger than what we have right now too, just a little. So we'll see. You know. We take it as it comes.
Apparently, if you know how to farm, it's not that hard to find land that you can use to farm around here.
That's true. Actually, there are a lot of people that have land just sitting there, fallow, or they just have something like alfalfa on it, and they actually get a tax break if people are farming on it, so they'll just let you do it for free, basically. You don't own the land, which is unfortunate, but finding land to farm is actually easy down here. It's the water that's the problem more.
Well, one of the things that really amazed me when I was living out in the desert in California, I joined a garden group. It was called the High Valley. No, it wasn't High Valley. It was the, anyhow, it was up in the Joshua Tree, Yucca Valley area, Southern California, out in the Mojave Desert. And we had a pretty active group of people who were interested in farming, sustainable farming, but everybody was doing it on a small scale. And what we attempted to do was everybody had their specialty. Like if I was growing cucumbers and you were growing carrots and I had too many cucumbers, I would swap some of mine for your carrots, you know, that type of barter system. Mm-hmm. And what we discovered was as a nonprofit organization, we couldn't even run a farmer's market and sell the produce because that would be a violation of our charter. So we couldn't actually sell anything that we grew, but we could swap it amongst ourselves. And it's amazing the amount of knowledge that individuals have, you know, about how to grow things. I met one lady who was growing everything in portable containers, and she would just move it around her yard depending on where the sun was, either taking it out of the sun or putting it in the sun, putting it up on raised platforms to keep the critters out of it. And she would also grow plants that the critters liked, so they would eat that instead of the stuff that she wanted to eat. Yeah, but there was a lot of knowledge out there. But the point I was going to make is that was all a collection of small-time farms. Okay, nobody wanted to get big. Just, you know, do what you can on your own land. And then there was a fellow who had a farm. He had hundreds of acres, and they've got this deal about the water, by the way, is no longer your water. If you have a well, you're not tapping into your water. You're tapping into the government's water. And I don't know if this is true in New Mexico, but in California, if you have a well on your private property, it's your own well, there's still a meter on it. You still pay for the amount of water that you take out of the ground.
That's interesting.
The thinking is that water runs under your property, runs under your neighbor's property, so it has become a federal asset. And it's, you know, the water agencies in California have a lot of clout, so they're going to charge you for pumping your water on your land.
Hmm. Actually, I have heard that California has a major water problem.
But they have lots of water. I mean, there is a tremendous amount. You know, at one time, the whole Southwest was an ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you all know that. 10,000 years ago, there was 200 feet of water where you're standing now, if you're in the Southwest. That water didn't evaporate. It sank. It's in the ground. It's still there. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of water under those deserts. So, yeah, I don't think water is a problem. It's finding where it's hiding. But there's plenty of water there.
I believe California is having a lot of problems with water transportation, getting the water to the right places or something like that. It was in National Geographic, but in any case.
But that's the water they're stealing out of the Colorado River. That's another whole issue. Yeah, they pump millions of gallons of water out of the Colorado River into Los Angeles.
So, yeah, these are all the things that we have to learn about eventually. So we're hitting an hour. We started a bit late, so probably right now is about an hour. So I'm going to leave the floor open for anything else that we want to talk about. Anything?
Is that the limit of this room? Is 1 hour?
No, not necessarily. It's again, that's why I'm leaving the floor open. If we have something else to discuss, it can go for as long as is necessary. But it generally ends up being about an hour. Seems to be the amount. Anything? Okay. So once again, I guess the hour is an hour is the time. So, thanks God everybody for coming, and it was good to see everyone, and good to see you again, Fabrizio. Good, nice. It's great news that you're becoming more interested, and we'll hear from you.
Before closing, I was wondering how Niyama likes her name.
Yeah, let me ask her. No, I think she likes it. She told me it fits her so good. Yeah, she was surprised.
That's great. That's fantastic. All right.
Does she love mission?
Well, I hope so.
Great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, she's still here, so...
That's okay. You know her pretty good, so I accept your assessment that, yeah, she loves the mission. That's great. Just tell her that we love her too, and welcome to the mission.
She's looking forward to, in fact, learn English and talk.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
So that I won't be in the middle.
That's great.
Okay. I wanted to say quickly, I don't know if this matters. It might just be my OCD, but I believe Niyama is spelled with a Y, like N-Y-A. I mean, N-I-Y-A-M-A. And I she probably mostly spells it in... No, you guys use the... That's right, use this. Yeah, so it would be spelled like that, I think.
Well, I mean, I was going to ask that. In fact, Neon told me about it. She said, though it's spelled with Y.
Yes.
But in Maitreya, the email Maitreya sent us, it was spelled like this without a Y, so she was wondering.
Yeah, it's very much goes with Nihan and Niyama. Mm. So Nihan is an N-I, and Niyama is N-I. The most important is the pronunciation. Who knows how does it really written in English with Y or I?
Sure.
That's a kind of a getting my license of writing the name I want.
Profit license.
Yeah. So either way, it's okay, I think.
Yeah.
It sounds the same. I or Y. It still says Niyama. It still says beautiful, beautiful name. What does that mean?
Tell us, what does that mean?
I don't think she can.
Okay.
But if you want, I can. But
go ahead.
It means observer of the laws of God to become perfect.
That's beautiful.
You know, in the 15 commandments, the first five, no, sorry, there are five observing commandments, yama, and there are five action commandments, niyama.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if she probably the only thing she understands is her name being mentioned a lot. I wonder what she's thinking.
Yeah, she's asking, but I'm like typing to her.
That's good.
Yeah, she went back to visit her family and connecting from there. Yeah, she's saying. Yeah, she gives her salam to everyone. Yeah, okay. She's typing index.
Okay, we see salam back.
And now, Turkey has, the Muslims has this, what do you call it, religious holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole country is almost shut down for 9 days. So that's why we have no work other than studying the mission and doing other things. So she went back to visit her family.
Actually, one of the reasons it's pronounced that way is that she observed all the laws of God, not only the five niyama. Great.
Sounds good. Anur,
back to you.
Back to you, Scotty.
Yep.
Well, back to you, Scotty.
I thought it was
Star Trek.
I thought it was beam me up.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
That too.
This was before they were on the Enterprise. They were all in the news crew. You just didn't know about it.
Okay. This is a pretty
great
Enterprise.
Okay, if there's nothing else, then I think we had a good meeting. I'll leave it open for just a little longer. Okay. Nice to see everybody, and have a good month until the next members meeting, which is listed on the news brief. Both of them are listed, if you guys notice, since we're doing it every other month. So if you want to check, it'll be there, and you'll get your reminder email. Fabrizio, you can sign up for our mailing list on our website. You just enter your email. So if you want to start receiving the news brief and our emails and such, that's the way to do it. Hope to see everybody there. So, salam, everyone.
All right, salam.
Salam, everyone.
Salam, everyone.
Salam.